meeting of Staffordshire Council's Community Wellbeing Scrutiny Committee. My name's Jill Hood and I shall be chairing this meeting. Please address me as chairman or chair, I have no preference. Attendees this evening includes members of the Community Wellbeing Scrutiny Committee, cabinet members, other members of the council and officers from various sections of the council. If you have a mobile phone, please ensure that it is on silent mode. Please indicate your wish to speak by raising your hand. No one should speak unless invited to by the chairman or unless raising a point of order. This meeting is being recorded and can be found on the council's website. We'll now move on to the agenda. Thank you. Item one, minutes of the 16th of November 2021 as previously published on the council's website. Proposed, Tony. Thank you. Do I have a seconder for the minutes? Thank you, Councillor Hobbs. Thank you, Andrew.
Before we move on.
Yes, certainly.
Last question. The last meeting should have been in January, I understand.
December, correct.
But it was cancelled. We don't have many meetings, so I was disappointed that the meeting was cancelled rather than postponed. Could you explain why the meeting was cancelled?
Well, I'm not embarrassed to say I can't remember. Would you like to do that, Andrew?
Thank you. The last meeting was cancelled because it was affected by budgetary issues. There were budget reports due to be on that were making up pretty much the whole agenda and they weren't available. So they went to the Resources Scrutiny Committee instead, at which the chairman of the two scrutiny committees were invited and in attendance.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Pearce. Councillor Pert.
Chair, through you, there was also scheduled to be a presentation by several organisations. One was Housing Plus Group, which due to the need to socially distance and not meet face to face, it was felt that that was not the right thing to be doing in the last wave of the pandemic. And there was also scheduled presentations from Support Staffordshire and community safety. Thank you. I had in mind and then just went senior member.
Thank you.
I got there first.
So, Chair, as a follow on from that, then are those presentations going to be rescheduled?
Yes, they are.
Right. Through you, Chair.
Yes, Councillor Pert.
Maybe the first presentation was at 5 o'clock. I'm sure you were there. You can't have.
I do recall that, actually. Yes.
Brilliant.
The other presentation I was referring to.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Pert's got his hand.
I'm sorry, Councillor Pert.
Through you, Chair, that is the plan to bring them back at a later date. I was just going to explain why they weren't tonight. I won't.
Thank you. Okay, item two. Apologies, please, Andrew.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I've got apologies from Councillor Sutherland, Councillor Edgler, Councillor Ray Barron, Councillor Cooper. Now, Councillor Peter Jones was substituting for Councillor Edgler this evening, but I believe he's not very well, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Item three, public question time, nil. Item four, councillor session, nil. Item five, members' items. Item number 5A. Health and Care Overview and Scrutiny Committee. Can we note it, please? Okay, thank you. Item 5B, Councillor Hobbs. I would like to ask, please, when we have an item that is so obviously to be dealt with by the County Council, why does it come on to this scrutiny community wellbeing agenda when it can't be heard by this meeting?
Chair, if I can explain, if members agree, we can formally request that the County Council take this up under their consideration.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about dental care within the borough. I've no idea what's happening outside of Stafford Borough. And that's why I brought this here, because I've had people complain to me about not being able to get appointments, and I thought there would be somebody here to feedback to me on this.
Yeah, well, it is a county council issue, but Councillor Hobbs, I don't see why we couldn't feed this back to the relevant officer, who may be able to give you some answers, but it certainly isn't one for this meeting.
Okay. Well, could I come in here to
you? You can, Councillor Loughran.
What on earth is this committee entitled to discuss? Because if we can't discuss the issue of dental provision in Stafford Borough, I think I would like others to stuff that we can discuss.
I think there's...
Because you're wasting people's time. Councillor Hobbs went to a lot of trouble in actually submitting that and then preparing to actually present the topic, and to then be told, well, really, it's irrelevant because that's a county council matter.
Yes, and it is a county council matter. So I'm not going to waste any more time on this.
But sorry, Chair, will you tell us what we can bring to this?
Well, if I were to tell you what we can bring to the Health and Wellbeing Scrutiny Committee, we'd be here all night. But dentistry in the borough is not one of them. Councillor Winnington.
Yeah, I have some a degree of sympathy for what's been said. This is a historical situation, and eons ago, the borough did have a health scrutiny committee. After the Francis report and the problems that were highlighted in the Francis report, one of the recommendations was that scrutiny should be done by county, and that's where it is now, and the chair's quite correct that it's a county function. I can't see why we can't, as this committee, occasionally bring things to be taken forward to the health scrutiny committee. Whether that's something that Andrew can have a look at in terms of process, but something like health within Stafford Borough or dental health within Stafford Borough, I think whether it's before a meeting and then passed onto the health scrutiny, because the county health scrutiny are the main body on this, but I can't see that as a borough council we can't sort of flag up things that we are concerned about.
No, and I agree with you. I'm not going to take any more discussion on this now. It's not an item that we're going to be able to discuss, but I'm sure that Andrew can take it back to see if in future we can actually put this onto an agenda for us to discuss.
Chair, on that, on what you just said, could we have that as an agenda item as to what was decided on that? I do feel that even though we aren't the body that scrutinises, we should have some function to highlight problems.
Yep, absolutely. Is that okay, Andrew?
Absolutely fine. If I could remind members that item 5A, the previous item, is the report back from what the County Health and Care Overview Screening Committee have been discussing.
Yeah.
But I will certainly take the issue forward to the County Council, and I've already flagged it through with them anyway.
Thank you. So I'm sorry we can't discuss this, Councillor Hobbs. Thank you. Item 6, called in items nil. Item 7, officers' reports. Item 7A, quarter 3 performance reporting, pages 13 to 36. Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you, through you, Chair. So this is quarter 3 report for community wellbeing scrutiny. The report contains performance at a glance, which encompasses 10 reported indicators. There's improvement reports for 4 of the indicators, which are contained in the appendix, and in terms of the narrative updates, 3 reported as being on track, 3 reported as good, and 4 are below target. So I'm happy to go through them page by page.
Yes, please, Tracy, if you would.
Page 16, this is the performance indicators at a glance.
Could I ask page 16, please, Tracy? L19, number of disabled families grant. It always seems, not always seems, but is always below target. And I know it's been brought up time and time again, but I wonder if you could take the time just to explain why that is, please. Councillor Pert, do you want to take that?
I'll take that. I think that that it's a really relevant question. It's been a concern for the team for a number of years, both in terms of delivery and general performance. And we have a contract that isn't just a Stafford Borough contract, it is a contract across six districts within Staffordshire. So the flexibility to declare UDI in any part of the contract is more difficult. But with the concerns that we've had, which have been somewhat delayed by COVID, I think we would have taken some different decisions earlier. We have spent inordinate amounts of time with the subcontractor delivering disabled facilities grants and with a view of trying to improve their performance. So our natural first starting point was to work with the contractor to improve delivery. I have to say that despite all the endeavours of the housing team across a number of different bodies, we still haven't yet improved the performance sufficiently. I probably can't say too much more because we'll go to a report that was on Pink back in December. But you will be aware, and this committee will be aware of the plans when that contract comes up for renewal.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Pitt. Councillor Winnington.
Yeah, just a quick one. It's L15. I presume that there's a reason for it, but is it percentages that, because we've done really, really well, we've got 112%.
Through you, Chair, no, I don't think it is percentages.
What does that mean?
It's kilograms.
Kilograms per household?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think perhaps we do need a note on that in the future or something, because it's...
It does actually mention that in the indicator narrative, where it says kilograms residual household waste collection.
Right,
give you mine, it probably is easier to read.
I've got that now, and you are correct, it does, but it, when the rest of the percentages, I do miss the smiley faces. But it doesn't actually show us a percentage where all the rest are percentages. Can I ask, is there a way that we can...
I'm happy to look at that.
Yeah.
Okay, Jane. Councillor Pearce.
Yeah, if we could go back to L19, the information that Councillor Perth provided is helpful, but I don't think we should necessarily leave it at that. I would prefer that as a council we make our concerns formally known with the County Council, who are responsible for the contract. I appreciate that actions are being reviewed, but that would be my preference.
Okay, I think Councillor Pert has something to say about that.
Just a point of information, through you, Chair, the contract isn't with the County Council. The contract is a multi-partite arrangement between six district councils. And there is a frank exchange of views between all members of that partnership.
Thank you.
I will restrict my comments because they are more than adequately covered on the Pink back in December.
Thank you, Councillor Pert. Okay, Tracy.
Okay, so I think we're on page 17, and so this is the start of the narrative. Updates, any comments?
I wonder if I could just comment on page 17, 2.2.4, which I think needs raising. Residents have written to the borough, to Becky Martin, and had a very detailed reply about Morrisons, who are about to get rid of all their plastic milk bottles. In Stone alone, that's a huge amount of people who use the plastic milk bottles, and they're going to change to the Tetra Paks. And I'm led to believe that we don't at the moment have the facility to recycle. Jonathan, I don't know if you want to say anything about that.
I think we responded to yourself.
You did, right? Yes.
And I think I've had a couple of other residents as well in Stone who have the same concerns.
Yep.
And that is something we're looking at. You are right, currently we don't recycle those. And that is some, I think there's only one recycling plant that deals with Tetra Pak in the whole of the UK.
Yes.
So that's definitely something that needs looking at.
Yeah.
We will look at that going forward.
Mm-hmm.
I have no easy answers on that at the moment.
No. Okay, thank you, Councillor Price. Anyone want to raise anything on page 17? No. Okay, Tracy. Once again, I'm so sorry about this. 2.3.4, talking about supporting the promotion of and use of town centres in the borough, and it mentions the Stafford Christmas lights. I bring this up every year on this page, and I know a little bit further on in this report it talks about Stafford's Christmas lights. Stone has a huge Christmas light switch on with between 2,000 and 3,000 people who attend, and I think it's a shame that we tend not to include it when we're talking about town centres and events that take place. So I would like to ask that maybe next time we get to the Christmas lights, that Stone is included in this report.
Really, Chair, I shall take that back to the office.
Thank you, Tracy. Okay, Tracy. Oh, I'm so sorry. Councillor Pert.
Just whilst we're on that, through you, Chair, I thought I'd take the opportunity to do an unashamed plug for Stafford in the World. That is returning this year for the first time post-COVID.
June 2nd.
Oh, thank you. And is in Victoria Park on Thursday, June the 2nd. And obviously be delighted to see anyone and everyone there. And obviously offer the opportunity for voluntary sector groups and organisations who do work outside of Stafford and the local area, if only just to get them involved and engaged, because it's always a good event. The second thing I should probably say whilst we mention the Jubilee is there are some Jubilee grants available, not really so people can have a knees up, but I suppose it might cover that, but really to see if we can create some lasting effects to mark the Queen's Diamond Jubilee this year. And things I was thinking of, you know, and communities are better at thinking than things than politicians after all, but things I was thinking of was, you know, maybe a Platinum Jubilee woods, you know, maybe a walk, maybe, you know, some investment into a community facility of some sort. Those grants are available between now and the 31st of March.
Thank you, Councillor Pert.
Small grants fund, which is administered by the Community Foundation. If you want more details, just give me a buzz and I'll send you them over.
Well, can I just ask the member to see if there's buzzing one another? Could you just send it to me, please?
I can do whatever the chair requests.
Yes, of course. Of course, Councillor Loughran. I'm sure Councillor Pert will send that through to you.
Thank you.
And also I'll just point out on June the 2nd that that will be the day that Stone will be taking part along with the nation lighting the beacon on the church. Councillor Trowbridge.
And in Victoria Park, around about 9:30, I think.
Yep.
9:15, 9:30 in the evening.
Yep.
Victoria Park beacon will be lit, and then on the 3rd and the 4th and the 5th there's lots going on throughout the town and Victoria Park.
And the borough.
So
and the parishes.
And the parishes.
And
it's houses.
Coming on to Victoria Park, 7th, 3rd, 4th, 5th
Okay, thank you. Tracy, back to you.
Page 19.
Did us a
I think we have to accept that everywhere in the borough we will all be taking part in this very exciting time.
No committee is incidental. Through your chair.
Thank you, Councillor. Okay, Tracy. I beg your pardon, Councillor Winnington.
Yeah, that's fine. It was page 20 we're on.
Okay.
The first one around antisocial behaviour, and pleased to see it's on track. Just for my information, because we're supposed to ask questions like this, how does it work in terms of working with the police and the other agencies? Take, for example, the car racing in car parks and things like that. How do we actually, not the incidents themselves, but what process have we got? What have we got on the ground?
So we would, because that's through you, Chair, because that's been raised as an issue, my team would work to set up sort of like a little task to finish that multi-agency group to actually look at the problem and to look at what resources are needed to try and tackle it. So it could be, you know, a wide range of partners, and we do that for most of like problem profiling for most of the issues that we have.
Yeah, this is, sorry, through the chair. So community safety is a poorer issue in particular on this, or are there certain cases where you sort of
leads? Through you, Chair, so we have a statutory responsibility for community safety as a responsible authority for community safety and also antisocial behaviour. And part of that duty is that we have to work in partnership with a number of agencies. So there's five statutory agencies that we have to work with, so the County Council, Fire and Rescue, the police, the CCGs, probation, with ourselves, and that's classed as a responsible body.
Yeah. I mean, to share again, I would say that you don't hear of that many antisocial episodes within the borough, which is probably different than it was 10, 15 years ago. So it's different world, I think.
Through you, Chair, I think the face of antisocial behaviour has changed. I think that if you go back sort of 5 to 10 years, it was predominantly youth ASB, where now it's predominantly neighbour disputes. So, you know, the landscape has changed,
yeah.
Really, and that there are a considerable amount of antisocial behaviour incidents in the borough that are reported either to my team, to housing providers, or to the police,
yeah,
directly.
Can I just ask for more question?
Yes, of course.
Because this is something that I've, and I know that Councillor Pearce has had it as well, neighbourhood disputes, household disputes, street disputes. What's the best, people out there ask me, who can I contact? Because I've been rude, but the housing providers quite often say it's like, you sort yourselves out. But then, have we got who, Mrs. Smith has got a problem with Mrs. Jones, who do they speak to?
So through you, Chair, so they can either speak to the police through 101, they can speak to my team. I have an ASB officer in my team. If it's a registered social landlord property, then they have the same duty that we have in order to, I think her housing plus have their own community safety team that has their own antisocial behaviour officers in. But even so, if they're getting no joy with that, they can report it through to my team. My team will take it to the weekly partnership hub, and it will get allocated to whoever the agency needs to be.
Thank you, that's really useful.
Okay, through you, Chair, we will be having a presentation on community safety and antisocial behaviour at the next scrutiny committee by my team.
Thank you, Tracy. Councillor Pearce.
Thank you, Chair. Through you, I think there is obviously jet engines going again. There is obviously a role for elected representatives as well, and maybe parish councils in trying to work within communities to de-escalate some of those issues that are there and that Tracy's talked about. Sometimes they are beyond our own gifts, though, and actually knowing that there is someone within the borough council who can support and can work within those communities is really helpful. But, you know, I think we've all got a role within antisocial behaviour to see if we can resolve some of those issues, because
because I'm just sort of mindful that we would be absolutely inundated if we picked up every issue between neighbours. But it's about trying, how do we create cohesive communities, and that is obviously what we set out to do. I would just say one other thing, which is Tracy's team in this respect have been extremely good. You know, sometimes these are personal things that last for years, and very complex and very emotionally charged, and the way that they are managed and brought to a conclusion, I think, is a testament to the quality of the people involved in working on those issues.
Absolutely, and in my experience, sadly, when there's a neighbour's dispute, it then starts to suck in other families surrounding them and escalates. And as Councillor Pert said, Tracy's group of workers, staff, are absolutely brilliant at dealing with the problems. But yeah, it is a big.
I mean, other people have had the same. But I mean, I've had two groups of people. Why say it's them?
Yeah.
Trees, that's the big one.
Councillor Pearce.
It's another issue, Chair, so if we're ready to move on.
Mm-hmm.
It was item 252. I mean, the overall aim is very laudable, about ensuring good housing standards in the private sector. But there's reference to a return to pre-pandemic demand, which suggests that it's dealing with issues that are raised by tenants. I think there's a danger there, if that is the case, in that private tenants are very often reluctant to make complaints about landlords because, as the law stands, it's very easy to then terminate the tenancy.
Yeah.
And there is evidence that this happens on a fairly substantial scale. So, which suggests that there's a need for proactive work as well in checking that private landlords are complying and are achieving good housing standards. So the question is that proactive work happening as well as responsive work?
Tracy? Anna?
Yes, both elements are occurring. During winter in particular, we get a much higher volume of complaints about properties. As you would expect, it's colder, people are in their homes, and it's more difficult to live potentially. During the summer, we get much less demand coming through the proactive reporting, so we will then do a lot more of that, the proactive work. So we will be going out and working really closely with landlords and tenants to investigate issues. We also do licensing of houses in multiple occupation, which is something that we're required to do, but we do go in and inspect to ensure that they're up to a good standard, because those are the higher risk properties as well. So we do a mixture of both, depending on where the demand is at the time.
Councillor Penn.
Two other thoughts. One is, and I've said this a number of times previously, our starting point is to want to work with landlords in the private rented sector. There are many houses in the private rented sector as there are social houses within the borough. And to not be able to avail a quality housing across the whole of the borough would seem to me to be a mistake. And obviously the better the quality of house available to residents, which we've spent some of this evening talking about that, the better the quality of the house, you know, it becomes a home. People root themselves into communities, and you know, you quite often find people have been there 20, 30, 40 years. It's where they've lived and been brought up, and there should be no differentiation from that. And so whilst that is our starting point, we will do things like landlord forums to try and work with those landlords to make sure that people, because some of these landlords have less than three properties, you know, they're incidental landlords who didn't start out just to be a professional landlord, but we have to take them on the journey of making sure they are absolutely compliant with the law, and the landlord forums are part of doing that. We brought in a regime of penalties to make sure that when we catch those landlords who choose to be ignorant of the law, and choose to not want to work with us, and our starting point is to help educate people about what they need to do, then we have a penalty regime that allows us to be able to enforce that. And we also have a very deliberately flexible front door, so that if tenants are concerned about the quality of their homes, we would encourage them still to bring that to the Borough Council, because the last thing we want to find is that they're living in poor quality accommodation. And so I would encourage anyone who is concerned about the quality of their accommodation in any sector, in fairness, to contact the Borough Council.
Thank you, Councillor Port. I wonder if I could just ask 2.5.1, increase in possession hearings and mortgage repossessions, etc. With the burden on families financially, with the knock-on effect of mental health in the current climate, which is just absolutely awful for those families who don't earn very much, are you planning to increase your staff members to deal with what is obviously going to come very soon?
Yes, we are aware of the forthcoming issues, issues that are already upon us. And what I'm looking at is across the service, how best we can prepare for the future. So at the moment we have the energy advice service through Warm Home Stafford, which we are looking to recommission and go forward as well. I think that's an absolutely critical piece of work. They provide a lot of good advice as well. We are investing in further training for our staff, the housing options staff, around mediation. So trying to see if we can resolve potential homelessness cases, both trying to persuade the landlord to keep the family and also trying to resolve family issues, breakdowns, things like that, where it's safe to do so. We're all looking at working better with our social landlords. I think we've already got this, you know, in train, about trying to understand those families, households that are at risk of falling into arrears and evictions, and try to work with them at a very, very early stage to prevent that. We're also in the process of appointing a new tenancy sustainment officer to bolster the team, again working on the preventative agenda, trying to ensure that problems are addressed as soon as possible so that they don't get to the stage where we end up having to go to court or anything like that. So we are trying to look right across the service at what we can do to try and help wherever possible. We're also working very closely with the support agencies in the borough to be able to refer in to get the wider support that we as a borough aren't able to do. So we're working at the moment looking at housing debt and housing debt advice and how we can ensure the sufficient provision of that service as well to ensure that the impact isn't homelessness for the residents of the borough.
Thank you, Anna. That's absolutely brilliant. How do we actually get the word out to our tenants, to our residents, that, you know, there is help out there? Because I know a lot of people are going to be totally ignorant of the fact that they can.
Absolutely. We would encourage anybody who is worried about, in this case, homelessness, to contact us as soon as possible. If we know about it, we can work with families. If it's when you've got the final notice of possession and you have to be out that day, that's where we really, really struggle. We don't want to have that crisis. What we're trying to do is prevent homelessness as far upstream as possible. So if people can approach the Borough Council, either through the, we've got an online self-assessment form where people can get directed to the appropriate advice. We've got phone numbers and we can still do in-person appointments if necessary for families to ensure we do prevent homelessness.
Thank you. Thank you, Anna. And then Jeremy.
Sorry, can I just add to that answer? The only thing I would just add is that actually with the Homelessness Reduction Act, there's 56 days that people can approach the Borough Council if they are concerned about eviction. So I guess my point there is, you know, you're never too soon. Well, you could be actually, in fairness. But
we know, don't we, in the real world, people that happens to just... What can I do? Where can I go?
Yeah, but you don't want people burying their heads.
But it's going to happen, Jeremy, isn't it?
Yes. I had somebody contact me about paying heating bills,
And it was quite sad because she had been a carer since she was 13, and her mum has now gone into a care home, and all the money's gone with her mother. She's in her own home. Well, so it's in her name actually. So anyway, she's got great difficulty of bills and all sorts of things coming in. And so I said, well, I think there's a new pot of money with the county council for paying bills, you know, your heating bills. So we looked it up on the website, and there's no money available. It says no money available. I don't know if it's used up.
Is it the Warmer Homes grant?
In honesty, through the chair, I can't honestly say which fund you've looked at, so I can't really honestly give you an answer to that question. I would say a couple of things. First of all, there is a government rebate coming along the lines on electricity bills. I don't know the full details of that, so I'm just going to skirt that answer. Sometimes we often make a referral to our energy advice agency, which is Warmer Homes Stafford. And the point there is if you find that people aren't always on the best tariff. Now, it's not a great time to switch electricity at the moment if you can find a tariff, and my personal experience is I certainly can't find a tariff. But it would be worthwhile maybe making that referral just so that we can look at whether there's any energy efficiency measures that they could be using, which might reduce the amount they're using. And I would go down the old recycling route, which is reduce the amount you're using, reuse, recycle, all those things, and start with that. So it may be that we can make that referral for the individual and start there. And then there is always a referral into Citizens Advice, the old CAB, and that may also help them, give them some other advice in terms of financial support and management, making sure they're getting the right benefits that they are entitled to.
I mean, she's actually been in touch with the Carers Association, and they've said even though Mum's gone into her home, she's actually still the named carer. So she will be able to, so they're going to try and sort out her payments. So that was quite useful. But I just think, I was a bit concerned because there was somebody else who come to me about the fact that she hadn't, well, this is another long story, but anyway, hadn't received some benefits, hadn't come through, even though she'd applied 5 times. And I said, okay, that's fun, there's this new, because it's been advertised on social media, I've seen it. And I looked and it said that there's no money available.
Maybe the answer is, I'm not sure which fund you're talking about. Maybe when you see it next time, you can just do me a screenshot.
I will.
Either pick up the phone, or you may not want to pick up the phone, just send it me instead.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Winter, you're next, and then Councillor Price.
Yeah, I'm quite concerned as we're going forwards, particularly with the what's going on in Ukraine at the moment and the oil price. I actually, for the first time in my life, ordered some heating oil for my mother actually, and some red diesel, and I wasn't given a price. What it said was, when it's delivered, they'll price it up then. Now that's going to hit me and my business to some degree, but I do worry about all our residents. The Warmer Homes Fund is about insulation. It's about making sure that houses that have got fuel poverty can actually have new boilers in and such like. But it's only a small percentage of people in the borough. And I just wonder what we can do, even with just an information leaflet, tell people what they can do, even if, and it sounds really bad, but just put an extra coat on and make sure you don't sort of sit in the cold at certain times of the day. But I do think we ought to, the borough and county together, ought to have some sort of an information leaflet that goes out.
Absolutely. Unlike my daughter who sits there in a vest and a pair of shorts and says it's freezing.
Yes. I wouldn't know about your daughter's
brother. No, of course not. Councillor Price and then Councillor Pert.
I live with a middle-aged lady that
Please don't.
Yes, just to state the obvious, I suppose. I mean, it's not just the most vulnerable people within the community that are going to struggle when these bills start to go off. It's going to be all of us, every single one of us. I know the price cap's being reviewed again in October as well as April, and we are going to be hit with some substantial bills. I do worry particularly about the most vulnerable within our society, who before April and October were already not so much on the breadline, but were struggling significantly to cover their energy bills. And as Anna had alluded to earlier as well, we're going to see demand at the front door increase, as Jeremy said too. We need to make a look at that. But I think we've got some very difficult trying times going forward. And just wanted to raise my concern, but I know it is everybody's concern currently, and Mark's mentioned it too. So it's something we do need to keep an eye on. We certainly need to try and look after our residents the best we can.
Councillor Pat.
I couldn't actually agree more with what Councillor Price has just said. I think we all recognise and can see the issues. It's very difficult to forecast how long those issues will go on for. I do think it's a really good suggestion to look at what other signposting we can do for general communities. We did this during COVID. And we actually found many community groups were brilliant, not only supporting those in their communities, but also at signposting. And often it's the signposting to professional help and support that's there. One of the things that we saw during COVID, we see it increasingly now, is the complexity of some of the issues that are within communities, within families, within individuals. And we've spent a lot of time working on partnerships and re-strengthening those partnerships, and I think what better way of showing the strength in that partnership than doing something across the whole of staff at Borough, which includes many of those partners, to make sure that we can identify and help and support those people through what will be a very difficult period for all of us.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you. Okay, Tracy.
Thank you, Chair.
I beg your pardon, Councillor Lachlan.
Can I just fill still on page 29 of there too, 82.5.3, and can I ask you if all the sites in Blackstreet have now been filled? Are there still the ones there?
Thank you. As of this week, I believe the final plot was let, and if they haven't already moved on, the final resident will be moving on very shortly.
That is good news. Thank you. Councillor Pert.
Just on that, can I make a plea for every member of this council, not just of this committee, to identify actively a land that could be put forward for additional Gypsy and Traveller plots or a site? I've asked Housing Plus any number of times, and most of the people I meet any number of times, but I would encourage every member to actively get involved in trying to identify a site, because this is our joint responsibility and we can't ignore it.
I'm sure we'll all take that very seriously, Councillor Pert. Thank you.
That is refreshing to hear. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, Tracy.
Page 21. That's the actual end of the narrative updates, and page 22 is the improvement report, the four indicators that were classified as below target. And that provides the context for current performance and the intervention that's going to occur.
Thank you, and thank you to Andrew for supplying us with data that we could actually read. Yes, Councillor Loughran.
I would say, actually, Chair, that this has been exceptionally helpful, very helpful. I could have done with it though at home whenever I was sitting preparing for a meeting. Even if I could have come into the civic offices and collected it rather than sitting with this and, trying to read it at home.
Okay.
It's very helpful tonight, as I say. It's when I'm at home reading it, that's where all the embarrassed and what's been done.
Thank you.
Some of the people, some other time.
So can we now please move on to page 23, which is Emma Fulliger. Do you want to take this page by page, Emma?
Yes, that's fine. I'm happy to answer any questions as we go through.
Yep, okay. So if we start with page 23, 24. Oh, I do have a question for 24. Do we still have a dog warden?
We don't have a dog warden, but we still have the service. So I think spitting, collect the dogs, and then we have some kennel
Okay. animals. Thank you. Thank you, Emma. Councillor Pearce.
Well, a favourable variance, what I can know is staffing variation. So what does that consist of?
Through you, Chair, there's a number of posts throughout the environment portfolio that are currently vacant that have been a restructure within environmental services, and those posts are now being filled. So that will come down going forwards.
Thank you. Page 25, 26. No one got any questions for Emma? Emma, thank you very much for this.
Thank you. Let them speak for themselves. Next time.
Okay, so we're now moving on to page 37, the work programme for the Community Wellbeing Scrutiny Committee, of which Andrew is going to take.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The work programme itself is outlined from page 39 onwards. If I could draw members' attention to page 41, the future items, there are two there to be determined which meeting they're to go to. So, Tracy, did you mention the antisocial behaviour was for the July meeting? Yeah. So that will put into July, if that's okay with the committee.
Is that okay with everyone?
So is that the July meeting?
Yes.
Yep.
And then support Staffordshire, we'll come back to you. Right, it's going to be later in the year, round October time, that is.
Okay, and that's brilliant. Thank you, Andrew. Just before I close the meeting, can I formally welcome Councillor Angela Loughran to the committee as a member? Delighted you're here, Angela.
So, does she have to do a whole meeting before we can welcome her?
Absolutely. I didn't think I should... didn't think I should waste your time at the beginning because we've had such a, difficult few hours. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.